Right. As I said, I want to take a one-week break from our study through the Gospel of Matthew and our study through specifically the seven kingdom parables in Matthew 13. Hope to get back to that next week with the seventh and final of that set of parables. But for today, I want to do something that I've done periodically, kind of infrequently, but I think it's important to do this once in a while. You know how I've done whenever there's been a big new Bible-focused movie that comes out, I've done movie reviews from a spiritual perspective, biblical perspective, and I've done one or two book reviews as well, less of those, I think, but I want to do one of those this morning. I want to do a spiritual, biblically oriented book review of a new Christian book that's just out in publication right now. And this is really part two of a message that I shared as a book review of the same author 5 years ago. In fact, it was 5 years ago, almost to the week, in 2011. The book that I reviewed then still is out in publication. It's called Jesus Calling, and the author's name is Sarah Young. She's publishing a new book that's out now. It's on, you know, every venue for buying books. You know, all the bookstores have it. Amazon, of course, has it. ChristianBook.com is promoting it. It's pretty much available everywhere. It's going to be, if it isn't yet, on the New York Times bestseller list. Her last book certainly was. And at the time, I called the message, if you want to find that message on sermon audio and re-listen to it, again, it was from October of 2011. And her book was called Jesus Calling. I called my review of it Discernment Calling. Her new book is called Jesus Always, and so I want to call this message Discernment Always. And it's really, my doing this review is really by way of a word of warning to you about this particular book. Now, why do I feel compelled to set aside one of our study times in God's Word to do this rather than a study? It's because it's part of my responsibility as a shepherd and as a pastor to help guard the flock from spiritual dangers that surround us. We're surrounded by this, whether we're consciously, directly, personally aware of it or not. First of all, let me just ask, anybody currently reading any of Sarah Young's books here? Okay, good. Don't. It's my recommendation to you. Unless you choose to read one of her books as an exercise in spiritual discernment. And if you do so, I'll be glad to work with you in that and help you work your way through one of her books for that purpose. But in terms of just reading it for your own spiritual benefit, I would certainly strongly warn you against that. But here's the background, practically speaking, as to why it's worth setting aside one of our study times to talk about this. These are the list of books that she's published since that original book. And that book was published all the way back something like 2004, I believe. I didn't really comment directly on it until, like I said, 2011. But here's the list of all the books she's published since then. Jesus Calling was her first and most popular book. Then she published Jesus Today, Jesus Lives, Dear Jesus, Jesus Calling for Little Ones, the Jesus Calling Bible Storybook, Jesus Calling 365 Devotions for Kids, and then before this last book, she published Peace in His Presence, and now with Jesus Always, her new publication. So far, since her first book was published, with all of those titles totaled up, she has sold somewhere in the vicinity of 16 million copies of these books worldwide. Her books are published by Thomas Nelson. It's a Christian publisher that I can only now describe as a formally trustworthy Christian publishing house. I remember as a younger believer learning which publication houses, which publishers I could trust as a young believer, which ones publish the good stuff, the substantive stuff, the stuff that was biblical in its perspective and orientation, and which so-called Christian publishing companies were willing to publish the strange stuff, the stuff that was outside of biblical boundaries. And there was a time when if something was published by Thomas Nelson, I would gladly get it and read it because I knew that they had a strong system somewhere. I don't know who it was and who was responsible for this, but someone was responsible for discerning what they published and what they didn't. And somewhere along the line that changed, and I can no longer describe them as trustworthy because they've been publishing this stuff and have been warned by many in the Christian community that what they're publishing now in terms of Sarah Young's material is at least minimum unbiblical and beyond that seriously heretical and dangerously problematic for the people that are buying their stuff and absorbing it. It's promoted by ChristianBook.com, all of Sarah Young's stuff. ChristianBook.com is the number one Christian bookseller in the world outside of Amazon.com. And of course I would expect Amazon to sell her stuff because they sell anything that will sell. Amazon is a money-making powerhouse, as you probably can imagine. But I would expect ChristianBook.com, like Thomas Nelson, to exercise some measure of discernment. But apparently they've lost that ability entirely, just as Thomas Nelson has. And beyond that, how many of you have heard of Salem Media Group, Salem Radio? Pretty much every Christian radio station that you may be familiar with is part of the number one Christian radio network in the world, which is owned by Salem Communications, Salem Media. And now they've signed an agreement with Sarah Young and Thomas Nelson, and they are actively promoting her material. And this new book in particular, by way of daily devotional excerpts from the book, which is reaching a minimum of 500,000 people on a daily basis, their regular listeners. Now, why am I warning you about the book? I read to you back 5 years ago, it's worth rereading now, from the introduction to her first and biggest selling book, Jesus Calling. And it's her testimony of how she came to produce this book and what the nature of this book is. It's written in the format of a daily devotional, which is daily devotional is like for each day on the calendar, you're going to open the book to that day on the calendar, and there'll be some like one page long, for instance, excerpt of some devotional concept or thought that's meant to direct your heart toward the Lord in a deeper way. There are lots of good devotional books that have been published throughout the generations of Christianity. Nothing wrong with devotional books. For instance, Charles Spurgeon's famous book, Morning and Evening, is probably the most famous Christian devotional book. I highly recommend it. You can't go wrong. It's just rich, it's deep, it's exceptional. And there are other excellent daily devotionals as well. This one is not one of those. This is how she describes how she came to write this book. During that same year, in 1992, this is Sarah Young's words, I began reading God Calling, a devotional book written by two anonymous listeners. Now, I had mentioned back in 2011 as background here that God Calling is one of the most destructive and dangerous books written under the banner of being a Christian devotional book. It was an occult book. It was deeply deceptive and terribly dangerous to an unsuspecting and naive Christian community when it was first published earlier in the 20th century, almost 100 years ago it was published. And she had gotten a hold of a copy of this book, Sarah Young had, and read it, was deeply affected by it, impacted by it in an influential way, meaning she read the book and thought, this is the greatest stuff ever, and she wanted more of the same for herself. So she refers to it, and I'll talk more about this in a minute, a devotional book written by two anonymous listeners. Okay, these women, she's describing now how they listened to write their book. These women practiced waiting quietly in God's presence, pencils and paper in hand, recording the messages they received from him. The messages are written in first person with I designating God. In other words, these two women sat down. This is back 100 years ago. They sat down and they had a blank sheet of paper and a pencil, and they put themselves, trust me on my description being accurate, they put themselves in a trance-like state. They waited for a message from God, and someone began to speak to them, and they began to write down these messages, and the messages came out as though God himself were speaking to and through these two women. This is an occult practice known as automatic writing. It's a writing expression of the same dangerous practice that we ended up talking about Thursday night in our open Bible study, which is the warning that the Lord gives us about not consulting mediums. Those who are receiving messages from spirits who are not God himself, but those spirits oftentimes claiming that they are God as they speak to the person that's listening to them. So I'm back to her words now. I began to wonder, she's reading this book by these two women, I began to wonder if I too could receive messages during my times of communing with God. I had been writing in prayer journals for years, but that was a one-way communication. I did all the talking. I knew, and this is one of the key descriptors from her own testimony, I knew that God communicated with me through the Bible, but I yearned for more. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that for her, she got to the point in her reading of the Bible that she thought, you know, this is great that God has spoken to me in the Bible, but I want more than what he's spoken to me in the Bible. I want to hear more direct and personal communication right to my heart, but I want to hear God speaking to me just like Moses heard him speaking to him, or just like Isaiah, or just like Paul the Apostle, or Peter, or James, or John. I want to hear from God like they did, and so I'm going to put myself like these two women did in a trance-like state with a blank sheet of paper, with a pen or pencil, and I'm going to wait until someone starts speaking to me spiritually, and then I'm going to write that down, and I'm putting words in her mouth now. I'm going to assume or presume that the messages that I receive are actually the Spirit of God speaking to me and through me. So she said, I knew that God communicated with me through the Bible, but I yearned for more. Increasingly, I wanted to hear what God had to say to me personally on a given day. I decided to listen to God with pen in hand, writing down whatever I believed he was saying. You know, if you ever get to the point where what you want more than anything else is to hear God saying to you what you want to hear him say to you, then you're already way over the line into the danger zone. And she not just crossed that line, but she ended up obliterating that line. I felt awkward the first time I tried this, but I received a message. It was short, biblical, and appropriate. It addressed topics that were current in my life: trust, fear, closeness to God. I responded by writing in my prayer journal. My journaling had changed from monologue to dialogue. Soon messages began to flow more freely, and I bought a special notebook to record these words. This new way of communicating with God became the high point of my day. Notice what's no longer the high point of her day. Yeah, her time with the Lord in his word, that's now the medium point of her day. She's longed for more than that, and so she got more than that. But now the new thing becomes the high point. The new thing has essentially replaced the old thing. Even though if you asked her directly, have your messages from the Lord that you believe you're receiving on this daily basis outside of the Bible, have they replaced the Bible in your heart and in your life? She would not admit to that. She still claims to be a Christian. She is the number one selling Christian author at this moment in history, other than Joel Osteen, who has his own serious problems. But other than Joel Osteen, she's the number one selling Christian author, and yet, what's the nature of these messages that she's writing? Now, here's how ChristianBook.com promoted her first book, and there I checked to make sure they're actively engaged in promoting every book that she's published since then, including this new one that's coming out called Jesus Always. This is their promotion. Is your quiet time with God like a monologue of prayer requests? Sarah Young's used to be, until she began the practice of waiting on God to receive and record his messages. Experience a greater sense of his peace as you read the words of Jesus of reassurance, comfort, and hope. You know, it's one thing for one individual to be so deceived that she thinks that by putting herself in this trance and receiving these messages that she's actually hearing God and Jesus speak directly to her on a daily basis. But it's another thing for a large and influential Christian ministry to just take her word for it and presume that that's exactly what's happening without applying any principles of spiritual discernment. Now, if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I want to reread a passage that we studied in detail together, and I just recently re-referred to it. But this is from the end portion of the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to read the words of Jesus as he warns his disciples about the danger of false prophets. I will just say it this way. Sarah Young may claim whatever she claims, but what she actually is now, by default, by her actions, by her books, is she's a false prophet. You need to be aware of false prophets. Jesus wants you to be aware of them, and he was warning us through his original disciples that day on the mountainside about this danger. I'll read from Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets. What does the word beware imply? It implies be on your toes, be on guard. If you're not bewaring, then you are fully vulnerable to being taken advantage of by these false prophets. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. We've talked then, and just a brief rehearsal, inwardly are ravenous wolves identifies the true motive in a false prophet's heart, to consume those that they're speaking to in some self-oriented way. They're not actually ministering with a heart of love. They're not actually ministering with a heart of concern. They're not actually serving the Lord at all. They're serving themselves. But they come not promoting themselves and portraying themselves as ravenous wolves. There is never going to be, there never has been, a false prophet that will walk into the church or walk into ChristianBook.com or walk into Salem Radio or walk into any other, like Thomas Nelson book publisher, and say, I wanted to introduce myself. I am a ravenous wolf, and I am here to take advantage of the larger Christian community. Will you help me in my desire? Will you partner with me in my desire to consume the Christian community for my own selfish gain? It just doesn't happen like that. Instead, they portray themselves as what? Sheep. They come in sheep's clothing. They cloak themselves in the appearance of sheephood, sheepness. You will, however, and I'm adding the word however in verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. We talked about what are the fruits that the Lord wants us to evaluate. And the fruit has to do with two things. It has to do with character. It also has to do with content. And we've evaluated some of the content. We'll evaluate some more in a minute. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. The idea is if a person is a true spokesman of the Lord, and that's what a prophet is, a prophet is someone who claims to speak for the Lord. And not just in a general sense, like as a Bible teacher, I am claiming to speak for the Lord, but I am not claiming the role of prophet because I would never dare to presume to say to you, like I'm speaking to you as the Lord in first person, as though I'm saying to you, my children, I would never dream or dare to speak to you in that way. But Sarah Young does, and those who claim to be direct vehicles of the Lord's communication to his people speak in such manner. So they're either a healthy tree or they're a diseased tree. And how do you evaluate whether the tree is healthy or diseased? By the fruit that it bears. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. So all we have to do is examine whether or not there's any bad fruit being born in Sarah Young's tree. And the reality is it's filled with only bad fruit. That's just the nature of the circumstance. So is it a healthy tree or a diseased tree? It's a diseased tree. It's a false prophetic tree. Nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name, publish great devotional books in your name? I'm adding that, of course. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. All right, let's turn to one other passage. And I could literally take us to dozens of these kinds of passages, but one other will suit the purpose this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll read verses 2 through 4. This is Paul's concern for one Christian community that was under a deceptive influence. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Now, Paul doesn't say that last line as a compliment or an encouragement. He says that last line as a convicting rebuke to the church that was so quickly willing to listen to teachers that were presenting to the church what he describes as another Jesus. You understand, there is no other Jesus, yet there are differing ways of describing and defining who Jesus is and what he would speak to his people. And that was what was going on in the Corinthian assembly, and that's what's going on through Sarah Young's writings. She proclaimed her first book to be Jesus Calling, and the book is filled with, the whole concept is Jesus, she claims, Jesus spoke these words to her, and in turn she wrote them down for your benefit, and she's redoing that same kind of project now with her new book, Jesus Always, which is just another 365-day daily devotional filled with new messages that she apparently has received directly from Jesus. All right, so what are the problems with this book? Let me just give you the laundry list. And I'm not claiming that this is a complete list of all the problems with the book, but this should give you a good healthy summary of the kinds of problems that you'll find filling the book. And understand, when I say filling the book, I'm talking about from cover to cover, every single day within the devotional. It's not just, oh, you know what, out of 365 days, there were 3 days that there were problems with the writing. The other 362 were just excellent. Every single day is flawed in a seriously, spiritually dangerous way. Why? First and foremost, it is a form of automatic writing. It is an expression of contact either with the Spirit of God and Jesus speaking to her directly through the Spirit of God, or those messages which are coming onto her paper fully formed are coming from some other source. And she insists that she's not writing these messages. Other than being the physical vehicle, it's her hand that's technically writing them down. But she insists that she's not making these messages up in her own heart and mind. These messages are being delivered to her. So we have to evaluate her writings on the basis of what she claims. Either they're messages from Jesus or they're messages from another Jesus, some other spirit that is speaking to her. The only option there would be, certainly, it can't be a spirit from God if it's not the true Jesus that's speaking to her. So we're dealing with a demonic source to her messages. Second, her book and her actions, her pattern of devotional writing, so-called, was inspired by an even worse book than her own. You can oftentimes identify the nature of what you're dealing with by tracing it back to the source material. What was the point of inspiration? What was what got her moving in this direction? And that worst book, of course, was God Calling, which is filled with even more dangerous, even worse material than her own writings, if that's possible. And interestingly, in the very first edition of Jesus Calling, which was published, I think, again, we're talking about 2004, in the introduction, which I've saved on my computer so that I can demonstrate this to others, in the introduction, she credits being inspired by the book God Calling. After that first edition was published, Thomas Nelson received many serious concerned complaints from pastors like myself about the nature of the book God Calling. And in the next edition, and there have been many editions now of Jesus Calling because it's been such a huge selling Christian book, in the introduction, the reference to the book God Calling has been deleted. But there's never been a single word spoken by Sarah Young or by Thomas Nelson owning up to the fact that this was the original inspiration and that we removed it for this reason. They just simply deleted that information from the subsequent publication, which to me is not just an issue of deception, it's now an issue of integrity. They're playing fast and loose with how they're handling this information, and there has to be a motive for that. And my suspicion, of course, is that the motive is what it always is in such cases with false prophecy: money. Third, it claims to be the actual words of Jesus, speaking as though she's quoting him. So when you have anyone that claims, "I am speaking the actual words of Jesus who spoke this to me," you've got to immediately go into hard, heavy-duty discernment evaluation mode. And you need to be measuring that claim against what you know Jesus actually did speak. And the only place you're going to ever discover that is in the cover of God's Word. And if you find anything outside that claims to be spoken directly by him that doesn't perfectly match up with what is inside the cover of the book, you know you're dealing with a false prophetic source, or ultimately a demonic source, and that's certainly the case here. Fourth is, in essence, what she's done is put words into the mouth of the true and real Lord Jesus that he never actually spoke. If someone stood up this morning, one of you, and said, "Pastor Tim said this in a previous teaching that he gave," or "Pastor Tim has told me this," and I'm standing there listening to you and I say out loud, "I never said that to you," what have you just done? You've put words in my mouth. You've used my reputation in order to influence the people that are listening to you to give some sense of authority and leverage to what you want to say. And that's essentially what she's done. She's put words into the mouth of the Lord Jesus that he never spoke. And by doing so, she is twisting not just his words, because they're not his words at all, but she's twisting your concept of who he is, what kind of a Lord he actually really is. Next, fifth, turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 for a moment. Her book is a product of spiritual presumption, not spiritual inspiration. I'll read just a single verse warning. This kind of warning runs throughout God's word from beginning to end, but this one captures the essence of the problem. And I'm reading Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. The Lord warning his people, speaking through a true prophet, Moses. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, in other words, other Jesuses, that same prophet shall die. Now, am I recommending a death penalty for Sarah Young? No. I am recommending, though, that you understand what she's doing at that level of seriousness. If she lived and published this book in Old Testament times, within the boundaries of the covenant community of Israel, she would be stoned for what she's done. That's how serious it is. Take it that seriously. And not just for yourself, because thankfully none of you are reading her books, but with 16 million of these published and sold, not just sitting on shelves, sold in people's hands, you, if you have any interaction with the wider Christian community, you are interacting with people that have been influenced by her writings. Next, her books undermine Scripture by implication. First, there's three ways that her books do so. She is, by implication, proclaiming the insufficiency of Scripture. Remember her yearning that she described. I read the Bible on a daily basis, but I yearned for more, which implies that her heart was not satisfied with what God had communicated to us in his inspired word. I will just say this. If your heart ever yearns for more than what God has revealed in this book, then your heart is unhealthy. It's not an issue that there's not enough to satisfy your heart's yearnings in this book. There is enough and far more than enough. The issue is if you're yearning for something more than what the book can provide for you, then your heart has reached an unhealthy condition that will not be satisfied by healthy communication from the Lord. Second way it undermines Scripture, she's raising, by implication, her messages to a scriptural level. Why? Well, if it really is Jesus speaking directly to her and through her, then how can we distinguish between whether her messages are at the Bible level? I mean, literally, if Jesus actually appeared in this room and spoke a message this morning and we recorded him on our machinery, if we knew it was the real Jesus, I would now view those words on the same level as Scripture itself. Because that's the essence of what Scripture is. It's the actual words of the Lord. She's making that claim about her so-called daily messages. And third, and most dangerously, of course, in actual practice, her messages really replace Scripture in her heart. This is from a further testimony of hers. This practice is her words now. This practice of listening to God has increased my intimacy with him more than any other spiritual discipline. Well, the other spiritual disciplines in view are things like daily Bible reading. So she's claiming that she's gained more benefit in her walk with the Lord from these special messages she's received than any Bible reading time that she has ever experienced in her life. All right, next on our list of concerns about the book, if you read through it, and again, I'm not recommending that you do so unless you're doing so for the purpose of a discernment exercise. Her Jesus, and I haven't read the whole book, but I went through and read intentionally excerpts from throughout the year to get a personal sense of what she's writing. Her Jesus, and I'm putting that in quotation marks, the one that's speaking these messages to her, interestingly, is only ever encouraging and comforting. Meaning that every time Jesus speaks to her, he's always encouraging her. He's always comforting her. I never saw one time where he ever convicted her heart, ever corrected her behavior, her attitude. I never saw one time where he rebuked her for her sin or called her to repentance. You know, the good thing about another Jesus is you can make him say pretty much whatever you want him to say. Now, the last concern, and if you're turning to passages with me, you can turn to this passage while I share this last concern, Philippians chapter 1. The last concern is, as I mentioned earlier, there have been revised versions of Jesus' calling, multiple revised versions. And it's not just that information about the God calling book and her being inspired by it in the introduction that's been revised. The actual messages from Jesus have been revised. Meaning, there were some doctrinal errors that came to the forefront from the very first edition that were called to Thomas Nelson's attention as the publisher. And I don't know if it was her decision or Thomas Nelson's. I would imagine it was Thomas Nelson's that they decided to edit some of the words from Jesus and to change what he had said, which was clearly and obviously to anyone that was reading that had any measure of discernment whatsoever, was in error and something that the real Jesus would never say. And so in subsequent editions, those words have amazingly been changed, and they are more in line with what God has previously said in his word. What's the problem with this? Listen, Jesus spoke a lot of things, like we went through the whole Sermon on the Mount. Would any of us want to edit or revise any of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? You don't edit the words of Jesus. You don't revise them. For obvious reasons. If they're divine words, if they're words from God, they don't need editing. They certainly don't need revision. All right, I want to end our focus this morning with this prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Philippian church. It's a prayer that it's wise for us to periodically pray for ourselves, pray for our church, and pray for the wider Christian community. And I want to read it, and I want to pray this for the wider Christian community. I want to pray in specific for, not so much for Sarah Young, but I want to pray for Thomas Nelson Publisher, ChristianBook.com, and the Salem Media Group, who are actively making tons of dollars in their cooperation with this deceptive false prophet, because they are miserably failing in the concern that Paul addresses in this prayer. Let me read the prayer and then we'll pray. This is Philippians 1:9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Father God, I do want to pray for Thomas Nelson Publisher, especially whoever it is in that organization that is in charge of making the decisions about publishing Sarah Young's books. I want to pray for ChristianBook.com and whoever it is in that organization that makes the decision about promoting and selling her books on their site. And I want to pray for Salem Media Group and whoever in that organization is in charge of actively promoting her materials and hosting these daily devotional excerpts from her new book. I pray that you would cause those three individuals and those three organizations, Lord, who claim to know you, love you, and follow you, and serve you, I pray that you would cause them to grow more and more in their true agape love, in their true knowledge of your word and your principles, and that they may truly grow in discernment so that they can have their eyes open to see how they have themselves bought into this deception, and how they are actively promoting such a dangerous and deceptive work. I pray that you would purify your body by working powerfully in the hearts of these organizations and the key individuals in those organizations as well. And make us more discerning in our own walk with you, Lord. And may we be a blessing and a benefit to anyone that we encounter who's currently under the influence of this particular writing. We thank you for that grace in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.